Hey, good morning, church, and welcome once again to our first Sunday in our ninth month, September. My goodness. No. Time is going by very quickly. Well, this morning I would like us to begin by having us all open up our Bibles to the Psalms. I wanted us to go to Psalm 23, and I want us to read verse 1. And I really do maybe wish or pray that every one of us should know that verse without us having to go and look it up in our Bibles. If you don't, you need to learn it. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, there's so much in this. I'm not going to teach on shepherd, or what a shepherd is, and how we need to see Jesus, you know, as our shepherd. Some people, because of maybe where they live, what they've been exposed to, don't understand anything about a shepherd. They see that word shepherd, it means nothing to them. Just like if you have never had a husband and you say to someone, you know, he is my husband. That word husband carries so many different meanings. You understand what I'm saying? And it's how you see it that it makes all the difference to you, to how you're going to experience it. But what I want to really key in on this morning isn't so much the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, which is a great thing, and it's a whole nother message. But I want to key in on the last part of that scripture, which says, I shall not want. Paraphrased, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I have no lack. Or I have lack of no good thing. Or another way of saying it is, I have everything. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything. Now, last week, if you recall, I said these words, God's word cannot lie. That's the first thing you got to know when you approach this book, is that this is the truth. Irregardless of what anything else around you is saying, or anybody else around you is saying, this word cannot. I didn't say it will not, it cannot lie. God's word cannot lie because God cannot lie. God's word is the truth. And when we, you and I, approach promises or scriptures like this one in God's word, where it says, I shall not want because he's my shepherd, or I shall not lack, or I have everything because he's my shepherd. When we approach these promises in God's word like these words, and there's many of them. This is just one that I chose. These words ought to cause you and I to jump up and down with gladness, with joy. They ought to cause every one of us in this room here to rejoice in his goodness. And as you contemplate the fullness of this very one scripture, I have everything. Our minds ought to be reeling in amazement. In I don't know what other word to use, at his person. And I'm talking about God here. We're amazed. Who is this God who delights above all in giving and blessing us? And you know what? With no strings attached. To any and to all that will come to him and receive, does he pour out the same promise, the same blessings and favor freely? Until when? What point does it stop? Until you and I stop receiving it. So what's God's limit of blessing in your life, Diane? Is there a limit? There is no limit. It's until you stop receiving. Now, our minds, like I say, if you really just focused on this one scripture, and began to meditate on it. Bless God, you'd be living heaven on earth. God has given you everything freely with no limits. That's like saying you've got a place where you can walk in and take as much money as you want forever. You will never tap it out. What would that do to you and me? Oh my goodness. I mean, we know that in this life that's impossible. But you know, that's what God is saying to us. I shall not want. I have everything. So God does not limit his blessing or the things that we receive, the good things. It is we who limit God, right? It's we who stop receiving. And you know what? This is our God. You know that song we sing? This is our God. But my question this morning is, how many of us in this room here today have much more room to receive? Much more room to receive. We're not closing off the door and saying, okay, I am just so blessed. There's just no more. There's no more God could possibly give. Anybody here like that this morning? Because if you are, you can leave. Or maybe you can get up in the pulpit and share some of what you have with the rest of us. No, there's always lots of areas, lots of room for us to receive. There's always many areas in our lives, in all of our lives, that still are in lack. We're lacking. And you and I know, according to the scripture, that it's not God that is withholding anything good from any of us. In fact, he is longing, he is waiting for your every lack to be filled to the overflowing. That's God's heart for you. He wants you super blessed, overflowing with blessings. And not just spiritual things. We spiritualize the word so much that we don't realize that this is speaking of the things in the natural as well, the things of the flesh. You know, let's stop spiritualizing this. When God blesses us, he doesn't just bless us spiritually. He blesses us mentally, physically, and in our whole estate. But you know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us this, that grace, God's undeserved favor and blessings, and his peace, his wholeness, all the things that we might lack in our lives, his prosperity, is multiplied to us how? Through our good works? Our efforts? No, through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we take that seriously in our lives? I think sometimes we're still mixing it up. We're still trying on our own efforts. We think that when we finally get to this place or that place, we're going to finally be ready for the blessing. But it doesn't say that in Scripture. Grace and peace, which is what supplies all of our needs, his grace, is brought to us and multiplied in our lives through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the lack in your life, I mean, I'm going to say this very carefully, the lack in your life and in my life is directly linked to your lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish because of sin. No, because of a lack of knowledge. And sometimes in our Christian life, especially if you've been saved for a long time, you become very complacent. You think there's nothing more to learn. It's like you turn it off. But yet when you look in your life, there's still lack. So that's telling us, you know what? There's lots more to learn. There's lots more that I need to know about Jesus. So God's people are not necessarily in lack because of a lack of faith. And that's kind of where we always kind of, oh, well, they didn't have the faith. They don't have the faith to believe God for that. And that's why they're living in lack. You must understand this one thing. And I'm going to do a little bit of teaching this morning. You and I, the Bible says, have all been given the measure of faith. So that means every one of us that are in the family of God, that have been born again of the Spirit, have the measure. You don't have more than me, and I don't have more than you. We all have the same amount of faith. What amount is that? It's the God faith. It's not even our own faith. It's faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. But through this gift of faith that we have been given freely through Christ, we are now to receive the blessings. Now, in the natural, it might appear to be that one Christian has a greater faith than another. How many times even Jesus said, "Oh, great is your faith." But the truth is that the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in one is greater than another. It's not the faith that's greater. It's the knowledge that's greater. So faith is faith. Let's get that straight this morning. It's not because you lack faith that you are in lack in your life. Faith is faith, but you can receive bigger things from God or greater things from God because your revelation is greater. Do you understand? I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you have never had a revelation that Jesus in the flesh took upon himself at the cross your diseases and your sicknesses, if you've never heard that, then your faith in trusting him for health and healing is very small. But when you see the revelation of what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross, guess what? It's not that you have greater faith. No, it's that the revelation became bigger, and now your faith is able to receive that. So your faith rises and falls with the revelation and the knowledge you have of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? So yes, it's by faith that we all receive things from God, because the just are to live by faith. But faith rises and falls in our lives according to our revelation and understanding of Jesus. And so when you're struggling with your faith, it's not about getting more faith. It's about getting a bigger revelation of Jesus. And if you and I could just for once get our focus off of our faith. Focusing on faith does not bring more faith. You know, whenever a crisis arises in our lives, we right away just think of, I gotta get more faith. I gotta build up my faith. And we get focused on faith. And the reason we focus on it so much as Christians is because we see it as our part. Okay? God has done his part, our part is faith. And so of course we're gonna focus on in anything. If you have a task at hand, it's what's your part. And so we focus on our part. And so we are so focused on faith. You know, I gotta believe. You know, and like by telling yourself that, you can somehow conjure up faith. It's like it's by your willpower that you believe. Come on, been there, done that. You cannot. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot conjure up faith. First of all, faith, it's not your faith. It is a gift from God. And secondly, it is a fruit. It is not a work of the flesh. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Can anybody say them off? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, there it is, humility, temperance. 9 of these fruits of the Spirit. And each one of these fruits is manifested in us and through us by one way. And it's not your efforts. It is not by human effort. They are not a work of the flesh, but a fruit of the Spirit. And all of these fruits grow effortlessly in us as we, what? The Bible tells us in John chapter 15, verse 7, as we abide in him and his word abides in us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Notice verse 7 does not say if you have faith. It doesn't even talk about faith. It says if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will automatically have faith. The fruit of that is faith, love, joy, peace. So let's stop focusing on the fruit. You can't cause fruit to grow by your own efforts. We've used that analogy before, that a fruit that is growing on, or the apple that grows on the apple tree, is not there because it has put in so much effort to grow. And no, it's just, it's effortless. As long as that branch has its life flowing from the vine, it'll produce fruit. Faith does not come by having heard the word. We know that the Bible tells us that Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. In other words, it's a consistent, ongoing thing in our lives. That's how faith comes. But my point is this: faith cometh from hearing the gospel. What is the word that we need to hear? The gospel of grace. That's how faith cometh. Or the good news of Jesus is the gospel of grace, God's grace. But you got to understand, without faith, the Bible tells us in chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. And so therefore, we key in on faith, 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 faith. It's all about faith. The just shall live by faith, need to live by faith. And so in our minds, we get this funny idea of what faith is, how to get it, and how to operate in it. We have so much stressed faith in the church. Now, I'm going somewhere, so just hear me out. It might sound like, what is she saying here? Because we know we have to live by faith. But why is faith, first of all, why is faith such a big deal to God? You ever stopped and thought about that? And we have all kinds of answers for that. Oh, well, because he's a faith God. And he calls those things that be not as though they are. I mean, that's how he created the whole universe. Light be, and light was. So because God is a faith God, he expects you and I, because now we're his children, to operate in the same way. But you know what? That might all be true, but that, I don't believe, is the big reason why it's by faith. Why is faith such a big deal to God? Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 this morning, and I want us to start reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 4, and I want us to listen very carefully to what the Spirit is saying this morning, because this is a hard message to preach, because I kind of get the idea of it, and it's very difficult to bring it out and get you to see what I see in what I'm trying to say here this morning, okay? So verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Now the word found here means hath perceived or has obtained, okay? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by his works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and his faith was accounted for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, the word reckoned means to conclude, to esteem. In other words, if you have worked for something, or if you feel like you've earned something, done something to receive, now it's not no longer grace, but now God is blessing you. It's like a debt. He owes you because you have earned it or deserved it. We understand that. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now drop down to verse 16 of that same chapter. Therefore, it is of faith. Why? that it might be by grace. The whole reason for faith is grace. So what did Abraham find out or perceive about God? That he was a God of grace. And in order for him or anyone else to be righteous before this holy God, one must totally rely and trust solely in God's grace. That's what faith is. It is by faith, so it can be by grace, or it is through faith that it could be by grace, so that we can trust completely in God's grace and in his goodness, his undeserved favor. I said all of that to say this. You and I, and many of the Christian churches, and I say this carefully, we put so much stress on faith. Got to have faith. Got to build our faith. You need faith. Ooh, my faith isn't working today. I don't feel like I have faith. Oh, I feel strong in faith. I feel weak in faith. So much stress on faith in the pulpit, in our lives. But you know what? We need to change that. We need to stress and put more stress and, how could I say, magnify grace. Not faith, grace. Grace needs to be brought out. Because you know why? Because the fruit of grace is faith. Don't magnify the fruit. Magnify the root. Your faith comes from knowing the grace of God. And so when your faith is not working, or you feel like you have no faith, low faith, little faith, high faith, look to the grace. Look to God's grace. Because it's the fruit of seeing the grace of God. Peace and grace be multiplied to you through what? The knowledge of Jesus. Where do we look to see his grace? The cross and Christ crucified. So don't stress and focus so much on faith, whether you have faith, whether you don't have. That becomes a stumbling block in our believing, where we begin to examine ourselves to see how strong our faith is. And it just depends on how much sleep you had the night before or what's going on. That will determine how you think you have faith. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's when we are totally oblivious to the fact that we even have faith is when faith works. And that is the truth. So faith is the fruit of grace, of his grace. In fact, think about it. All of the fruit or the fruits of the Spirit are all fruits of grace, love. Love comes from seeing his incredible love, his grace at the cross. Temperance, long-suffering. When you see God's long-suffering for you, his grace for you. You, out of that, you birth long suffering to others. It's all by grace. All of the fruits begin to operate in our lives through his grace, through focusing on his grace, not on our faith. And there is no other way of pleasing God. And this is what I want us to really grab hold of today, because this will set you free. There is no other way. The Bible says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, faith comes from looking at his grace. And there is, you need to see it in that light. There is no other way to please God except to receive his grace. God is a God of grace. He longs to be gracious to you. And grace is not for just those of us who are ungodly. You know, we look at the world, the sinners, and say, oh, you know, they need grace. They need the grace of God. And here's another thing. The grace of God does not diminish towards you once you and I are saved. That's kind of how we think about it. Let me ask you a question. In your walk, do you at times, can you be honest with yourself and know that there are times when you are relying on the grace of God much more than other times? Of course. Because there's times where, you know, we think we've kind of, in our own sense, think, well, you know, I've been walking by faith here. I've been confessing the word. And we forget it's by his grace. Always by his grace. Don't ever diminish your need for the grace of God. And we do that. So grace is not just for those who are living ungodly or who are in the world. It does not diminish as we grow in our Christian walk with the Lord, nor is it withheld from us to any extent. If you and I are to live by this word called faith, then we must absolutely live by grace. When? How often? Only when we need it? No, every day. Don't get your eyes off of his grace. It's all about the grace of God in your life. And his grace will never be tapped out. Never runs dry. And you know, there are times in our lives as Christians, and I know this is true, and there are areas in our lives as Christians that, you know, we at first maybe trusted God's grace to see us through, but after how many attempts and how many failures and we fall, we somehow get the idea that we cannot continue to rely on his grace, or that we pull a little bit back and think, well, you know, I know better and I just can't seem to embrace God's grace like the guy who first heard about it. And we limit ourselves to the amount of grace we receive by how we think about it, how we see grace. Because it's only by grace that you're ever going to receive anything from the Lord. That's God's MO. That's his method of operation. Right, yeah. Grace doesn't come because we deserve it, even after we're saved. If you think you deserve it, then it is no longer grace. And if it's not of grace, you are not pleasing God. You're pleasing the flesh. Grace is not like money in your bank account. And sometimes I think that's how we see it. Let's say you have $10,000 in your bank account. And in the natural, the more times you go in and make a withdrawal on that $10,000, what's happening to the money? It's decreasing, right? And the more you draw, the more it decreases. Until what? Till it's all gone. That is not a picture of God's grace. In fact, it is exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. The more you draw on the grace of God, the more it will increase in your life. And the more it increases in your life, the more you will see the need for it. The more you will trust it and live in it. God's method of operation or MO never changes, whether you've been saved for one day or 50 years. It is by his grace that you were saved. It's by his grace that you breathe every day and are alive. And you might think you got the cat in the bag, and yeah, you know, I'm saved now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, as if that somehow separates us from needing his grace. So it's by his grace that you were saved from eternal separation from God. It will be by that same grace that you will live this life in the flesh. And it's by his grace that you will go home to be with him forever. Your faith is just the avenue in which his grace flows. You need to see that. And so your faith rises and falls in the amount of his grace. And if you focus on this message and really concentrate on the fact that it's all about God's grace, and be immersed in his grace every day in that thought, I can do nothing. I have nothing. I deserve nothing. No matter how good I think I might be in this Christian life, I have no idea how it compares to his holiness. And so it's by his grace always. And that gives you strength. Because you know what happens when you think that way? All of a sudden you and all of your efforts are none. And you can have the confidence and the assurance that because it's not by my efforts, it's not by any, it's only by grace. You can have the assurance that whatever the thing is that you've asked for has been given you. It is grace. Knowing and understanding and living in it daily, moment by moment, never taking it for granted or thinking you got it. And oh, well, you know, but focus on it and it'll grow, it'll grow, it'll grow. And the more it grows, the more you will see it at work. The more you will have no lack in your life. We can never stand before a holy God and say, well, look at my life. Except by the grace of God. And it's the same way with each other. We're not out to show up one another and say, well, look at me, such great faith I had. No, with humility, it's by the grace of God, I have what I have. I am what I am. God has blessed me with what he's blessed. Don't let pride enter in. And if you will keep yourself in this grace, in this awareness of it's all by his grace. There's nothing you can't do in this life. There's nothing you won't receive in this life. You will have everything. So as we leave here today, let's remember it's not your big faith, because your big faith is only because of his grace. But let us every day keep our eyes and our focus on his grace, because that's his way. He is a God of grace, and he wants to pour out that grace in your life. We should have sang this morning, Amazing Grace, because it is an amazing grace. And every day, it ought to get more amazing in your life. Trust in this grace. Focus on it, meditate on it, praise him for it. And your faith will be the result. Your fruit, it'll just grow. You won't have to try to have faith. Try to believe God's word. It is grace. It's grace. We need to continue to focus on grace. We get so far away from it at times. It becomes like a step. Well, now I understand grace. I have his grace. And we forget. It's all wrapped in that. Amen. That's all I have for this morning. But we are going to share communion this morning. And just remember his grace as we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus.